You are listening to the Money Buddy podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing? Ahalya here to introduce you to another episode of our series, Money Buddy, where we bring you investor insights that will help ease the anxiety and stress around financial freedom and help you get on the road to financial freedom in the best way possible. We're doing all of this through the insights of PGIM India Mutual Fund CEO Ajith Menon, who's back on this podcast to talk to us about a very interesting question, one that I, as you know, a recent investor, have definitely pondered over the past couple of years. And I'm sure many of you will relate to this question. What should I invest in? Simple question, nuanced answer. Let's hear what Ajith Menon has to say.
Hello again, and welcome back to a new podcast from PGIM India. And I'm hoping today to really address an issue that I get a lot of questions on when I travel around the country. Okay, so how exactly should we go about selecting the funds that we should invest in? Because I chose this and I was recommended this, but hey, it's not doing too well now and I'm not sure what to do about it. So there are many questions that come when it comes to the question of selecting the funds that you need to put into your portfolio or you want to put into your portfolio for your long-term set of financial planning on your financial goals. But I want to first start this with a little story that happened with me just last year. And this will probably help you understand where I'm coming from. So this situation has got nothing to do with investing and long-term returns. It's got to do with me selecting a new car. Well, the family was up for a change on the car, and my daughter, my son, my wife, we were discussing what should we get. We knew some of the cars that our friends had. We liked them. And of course, we were bombarded by these beautiful advertisements. And of course, we had a budget, so we had to think about all of those things. But when it came to selecting that car, we really ultimately went for beauty and brand and comfort. That's about it. And then did it fit into the budget? And then just went for it. I'm sure that most of us take decisions on things which are big ones, like, you know, buying a car or buying a house, even sometimes buying a phone. In this manner, we just go for the beauty and what we can see in front of us and how things feel like. Makes it very difficult when it comes to investments because you can't see anything and you can't touch anything, right? So it is a difficult decision. It is an important question that people have been asking me, and I've been thinking about how to answer this for some time. Now, going back to this experience I told you about in selecting a car, well, I'm sure that we all have friends who are a little better than us in terms of knowing the technicalities of stuff, right? So I had friends talking about, you know, the horsepower and the torque and many other technical aspects that I wasn't very familiar with. But, you know, I'm not talking about those specialists, those great enthusiasts who dive deep into these things. I'm talking about the mass general population out there who are not very familiar with what's under the hood of, you know, a car and what's under the hood of an investment. That's where I am making the connection for you in terms of this question that how do I go about selecting the right kind of products? I don't know technicality so much, but how do I go about selecting this and building a portfolio? Now, let's just look at, you know, the common sense approach or maybe the approach that most of us take. Well, we look at some websites or we look into the newspapers, we read some articles, we see it on TV that so-and-so stock or so-and-so funds are doing well and the last year returns have been fantastic, and we jump in and buy it because we think, well, that's what everybody must be doing. And surely when you ask around, everybody seems to be talking about this very popular product or investment, and we jump into it. 2 years or 3 years out, we realize, oh my God, what happened to my investment? It's not doing as well as I thought it would. And we make a change. We have to tinker. We are human beings, right? So we tinker with stuff. And so we tinker with our investment and change it. 3 years out, it's the same story repeated. Again, the investments we chose aren't doing what they were supposed to do when I selected them. Why does this happen to most investors? I guess it's got a lot to do with the fact that we are humans, right? We're humans and we are swung by certain biases that we all have, the biggest of them being a recency bias, which is that you look at something recent and we believe that that's going to continue into the future. What's the danger for doing that for our investments is the question to really answer. The danger is something called breaking the sequence of return for your goal. Let me explain this as simply as I can. What I mean is that if you had a goal, and let's say it's about your daughter going abroad for future studies, and let's assume that that goal is 10 years away. And if you actually sat down and said that what is the money that you require to send your daughter abroad for studies based on what you know about fees, course fees and tuition fees today, you might even have help from online calculators or a financial advisor that tells you that you need to put so-and-so money aside systematically every month or at least once a year from your bonus. And we are going to put this into these selected funds, which will give you a certain rate of return that will ensure that you will meet your target 10 years from now. That's what generally happens, correct? Now, when that advisor tells you that for this particular goal, you need an X percent return, let's say that's a 10% return that you require to get to that goal, what happens after that is very, very critical in choosing funds. What tendencies we have as human beings is, well, let's get to that goal faster. Look at this fund. It's doing 20%, 30%. Let's get to this and let's put money into this. And then 3 years later, you find that, oh, it's given some negative returns and you don't like it. Now you again change and say, these funds are doing well. Let's get into this. And you keep changing your investments. And you might be even second guessing your financial advisor and saying, no, you did not. Why 10%? Look at these funds. It's on the newspapers. It's in TV and it's doing well. Let's do that. And that's where you make the mistake of disturbing the sequence of return to reach your goal. Another simple way of trying to bring the importance of it to you is that when you have 100 rupees, and if for some reason that investment of 100 rupees goes down to 50 rupees, it means that you've got a 50% loss, right? But now you've got to take that 50 back to 100. What's the rate of return that you need to take it back to 100? You need 100% return on your 50 to take it back to 100. So think about it. On the way down, it's a 50% loss. On the way up, the same thing requires 100% return to get you back to the 100 rupees. This is what happens if you extend this over that 10-year goal and you have some investments you think is very good now and it gives you a negative return in the second year or third year of your investment. And I'm not saying that funds don't give negative return. What I'm trying to say here is if you choose funds that have very, very high returns, double-digit returns, and you get excited by it, those very same funds can give you very, very low returns and double-digit negative returns. And some funds may just give you 8, 9, 10%, but even on the downside, it will just give you a minus 2 or minus 4, minus 5 kind of thing. I'm just giving an example. This is just to make you understand the concept of it. And you can catch up that, you know, much better. The problem is if you're investing in products that really excite you, and there are many exciting ones in the newspapers and the media that you always read about, and those funds give you negative returns in the first couple of years of your investment, you will never be able to get back to that 10% return for 10 years that you require to get to your goal. And then at the end of the journey, you arrive exhausted and very disillusioned and unhappy about the choices that you made. So I think that when we think about the sequence of returns for what you require for your financial goals, it's a very important aspect to not disturb it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't invest in the funds that you like, but those should be then for very, very long-term goals where time's not so much of a matter. And, you know, you can take that portion of your money and take a risk with it or take a bet with it. It's fine. But for the important goals in life, for your children's education, for your retirement, you know, for buying a house, you've got to be very careful about the sequence of return risk. I will tell you why this happens to most people. Let me tell you a riddle that I read in a book. I think it was by Morgan Housel, if I'm not wrong. And he talked about the lily pond riddle. And the lily pond riddle goes like this. Imagine that there is a little pond in which there is a lily pad or a lily leaf. And imagine that this lily pad doubles in size every day. And if I told you that the lily pad will cover the whole pond in 20 days time, and I ask you this question, so at what point of this 20 days did the lily pad actually cover half the pond? And our mind and our mental mathematics is going to be such that a lot of people are going to jump to the conclusion and say, well, on the 10th day, it would be half. No, that's the wrong answer. I told you that the lily pad doubles in size every day, and on the 20th day, it covers the whole pond. It means it covers half the pond on the 19th day, because on the 20th day, it's doubled and it's covered the whole pond. Now, do you see it? That we as human beings tend to think about everything very linearly, and it's very difficult for us to get the effect of compounding, and especially when it comes to our wealth. So, when you think about this example of the lily pad, which doubles every day and covers the whole pond on the 20th day, and of this question that when is it covering half the pond, you imagine that, you know, 8 out of 10 people is going to tell you on the 10th day, and that's the wrong answer. It's the 19th day. And in one day, it doubles and fills the whole pond. That's the magic of compounding. And that is also the reason that you should not disturb the sequence of returns. So buying and holding a good portfolio is much better as a strategy than tinkering with it all along the way. Now, do you understand the sequence of return risk? It is about not disturbing the effect of compounding on your portfolio over the time frame when you're planning for your goals. Sometimes we tend to make this investing into a spectator sport, and we look at what's happening out there, and then we keep changing and tinkering with what we do. Here's where the value of a good, trusted financial advisor comes in, who can help you stick to your goals and stick to your plan. It is not the Sensex or the Nifty or the FMCG index or the financial index that you should be looking at. What you should be looking at is, my daughter's got to go abroad in 10 years' time. And therefore, what's the portfolio and what's the return of that portfolio that I require for that 10 years? That should be your benchmark and not the other way around. Okay, that's all I have for this podcast on understanding the risk on the sequence of returns that you require for any of your financial goals. I hope that you will put it to some good use and ask some good questions the next time that you're talking to your financial advisor, or when you select one, that would be a good thing to do as well. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you very much, and see you in the next podcast.
Interesting. You know, the introduction of the podcast, I did say that it's a simple question and a nuanced answer, and it is a nuanced answer, but it's not as complicated an answer as we would expect, you know, to just stay on the right track, stay on the track that, you know, is giving you reliable returns. It's not that difficult. We just have to set our mind to it and I guess have clarity, right, about what we want in terms of our financial goals. That is always key. And that is something that has come across on every one of the Money Buddy podcasts. That's a wrap for now, folks. We'll bring you more insights from Ajit Menon, CEO, PGIM India Mutual Fund. Until then, happy investing. And as Ajit always advises, make sure that you have a trusted financial advisor by your side to help ease the entire journey to financial freedom. Join us on the next podcast in the Money Buddy series. We'll be back very soon. For now, this is me, Ahalya, saying adios.
Money Buddy Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.